We should not think that the priestly garment is just a garment. No, no, actually no. Just like in the New Testament, we are to put on Christ. Christ is our garment. Actually, when you are baptized into Christ, the Bible says you put on Christ. Right? So Christ as our garment is not just a garment as you put on. But you have to realize that this garment is a wonderful person. So when you look at the garment, the priestly garment of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can see it is really a full description of his wonderful service and who he is and what he is like. Right? So in chapter 28, let's go back to Exodus. Once again, I want to remind you all that everything written in the scriptures, we call it the Old Testament, okay? But it's not actually the Old Testament. The Lord calls it the Holy Scripture. That means it's the living Word of God. Again, let me say it, although I said it so many times, I know it doesn't get into your hard disk. That's why it's called hard disk. Our head is so hard, nothing goes in sometimes, right? Especially certain things that we don't like to hear, it doesn't go in. The Old Covenant, or so-called Old Testament, strictly only refers to God's agreement or contract with his people during that time, the nation of Israel. Meaning to say that God will deal with them according to the law. Okay. And if the people of Israel at that time did not follow the law, then they will be punished according to the law. No mercy. Right? So you can really see that was the Old Covenant. But the reason why God did that is because it is for the protection of his people. Right? Can you imagine? There's no law in Canada. I don't think you would like to live here. Right? It becomes a lawless country. You wouldn't want to live here. Right? So the law is really a protection. And then the law, Paul said, is also our teacher to bring us to Christ. Because the law really shows what kind of a righteous and loving God we have. So Paul said in Galatians, the law is our school teacher to bring us to Christ. And indeed, the Lord says, Moses spoke concerning me. That's what he says. So if you don't have eyes to see, you only see thou shalt and thou shalt not. Right? But really, if you have eyes to see, the law teaches us concerning Christ, especially not just the Ten Commandments, but also the ordinances. For example, all the offerings talk about Christ. The feast, they talk about Christ. Right? So many things that Moses wrote really talks about Christ. And that we all need to see. It has nothing to do with the Old Testament, so-called. Right? And of course, the law, Paul also said, is holy. Of course, righteous. It shows that our God is a righteous God. But also a loving God. Because the law was summarized by the Lord in two sentences. Right? The summary of the law, the first one is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. And secondly, It is to love your neighbor as yourself. So the law is showing us we have a loving God. Right? That's why the Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because keeping the commandment is the real expression of his love. You cannot just say love, 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 and without any law. At the end, what kind of a love do you have? You will love what you should love, and you will not love what you should love, right? So, if you love me, the Lord says, you will keep my words. Right? So, you can really see the law is not so bad after all, right? But the covenant is strictly God's dealing with his people according to the law. But actually, from Genesis all the way to Malachi, it is not the law. It is not the Old Testament. I'm sorry, people call it old and new. Because then if you have a concept that it's the Old Testament, you say, I don't need it, it's old. And many people say, we don't need the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. Then, well, sorry, you call it the Old Testament, but the Lord didn't. It's the living and abiding Word of God. Paul says, all the scriptures are God's breath. It's the breath of God. And it's profitable for teaching, for correction, right? Instruction in righteousness, and to make us perfect, to make the man of God perfect. So you really need the scriptures. Can you imagine? You cannot fully understand the New Testament, so-called, without knowing the whole scriptures. Impossible. Right? So here, how can you understand the Lord today in the book of Hebrews that he is our great high priest if you don't go back to Exodus here to see what Aaron as a great high priest is doing? Because Aaron is a figure of Christ. So if you said we don't need that, you just read Hebrews and you will not know so much. Hebrews is just how many chapters? 12, 13 chapters. And with just a couple of verses they're talking about Christ as our great heavenly high priest, it cannot describe everything. So you need to come back. And here we really can see very clearly the garment of the high priest. It's very important for us to know. Right? Last night we saw the ephod, the vest, that's the outer vest worn by the high priest. And it is made with such wonderful materials. Remember the materials? What kind of a thread? Number one is
gold.
Praise the Lord. And number two is blue thread. Number three is
purple.
Amen. And number four is
scarlet.
And then you have the base of the fine linen, which is white, pure. All of these are the qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ as a great high priest. You can see his divine nature in Christ. You can see his heavenly nature. He is the man from heaven. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first man was earthly, but the second man, Christ, is a man from heaven. He came from the Father's bosom. He's the man from heaven. He has the color blue. Praise the Lord. And then he is the king. Behold your king. Right? You know, when we talk about Messiah, we always think about Savior, right? We never thought of Christ the Messiah as the king. But for the Jews, the Messiah, this word, this name, Christ, means the anointed one, meaning to say he's the anointed king. And according to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, behold, right, your king cometh riding on the foal of a donkey, right? A baby donkey, lowly. But his first coming as a king, he brought salvation with him. But nevertheless, he's the king. And even Pontius Pilate knew he's the king of the Jews. That's why when he was crucified there, Pontius Pilate put a sign there, the king of the Jews. They were not very happy, right? The Jews were not very happy because they didn't believe that this man is the king, right? But he is the king. Believe it or not, you better see his purple color. We just sang a song, How Kingly Is He? He's not only your Savior, he's your King. Amen. Oh Lord, may the Lord have mercy on us. Right? First, he has a divine nature and he's heavenly. And he is kingly, and he brought salvation with him, so he has the scarlet color. He didn't come to condemn us, he came to save us from our sins. What a wonderful color. What a wonderful combination. Who do you see? Where do you see a man with such a combination of colors? And then the fine, pure, bright, white linen. Wow, such righteousness in our Lord Jesus Christ. No sin is in him. He is altogether righteous. What a high priest. You need to appreciate such a Christ. Because if you don't appreciate such a Christ, how can you be like him? People says, we want to be like him, right? Don't you like to be like him? How? If you don't know him as such a high priest, how are you going to be like him? You tell me. You have your own color. Gray. Gray is not a good color, okay? Neither white nor black, you're gray. Terrible. Right, maybe you like gray, I don't know, but brown is the color of the dust. That's not a good color, right? But we love this color. Right? Oh Lord, praise the Lord. Anyway, these are the materials, the colors that are used for this ephod. The vest here, which is very important. And then last night, we also saw that on the shoulder, you have two onyx stones. Right, put on the golden setting. And on these two stones, you have the 12 tribes, the name of the 12 sons of Israel, according to the order of their birth. So that means that we all are upon the shoulder of this wonderful great high priest. Right? Does not matter whether you're younger, you're older, it doesn't really matter. The Lord will carry you on the shoulder. And who is capable to carry the whole people, the whole 12 tribes upon his shoulder? Even a couple of names you cannot carry in your shoulder. Maybe you carry it for 3 weeks and after prayer, nothing happens, take it off, change another name. After 6 months, you give him up, forget it, useless, it doesn't work, put another list. You keep on changing lists on your shoulder. You cannot bear people too long on your shoulders. Right. Aren't we like this? Yes, we are like this. But not the Lord. No, no, no. And remember, we are so precious in Him. We are upon His shoulders. Only He is strong enough to really bear us upon His shoulder. Right? Wonderful. He even bore the sin of the whole world upon His body. God put upon Him the sins of the whole world. Right? Who can do that? So, who is qualified to be this wonderful great high priest? No one is qualified. Right? So, praise the Lord. Let us continue to read. Where were we last night? All right. Yeah. And 12, right? We finish. And then, of course, you shall make the settings of gold. Right? And then you shall make two chains of pure gold, like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains to the setting. Every material that God uses is divine and heavenly. Unfortunately, when we do the building work today, we use all kinds of material available to you. If you have no gold, you just use some kind of a... what? Plastic. Use plastic, it's cheaper, but you know, it breaks, right? God will never use plastic, it's okay, and He will not use metal that rust, right? God only used the best material for the building up of His church. So whatever we use today to build up the church, Paul warned us how we should build upon the foundation, which is Christ. You must build upon the foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. He just mentioned these three materials. Where do you think he got this idea? From here. Because the whole sanctuary, the holy place and the holy of holies are made of acacia wood but overlaid with gold. So when you go in there, you see the whole thing is just made of gold. And those boards overlaid with gold were standing on silver sockets. Somebody calculated the amount of silver used in all these sockets all around the sanctuary there. It's 1.8 tons. Can you imagine they have to, if they're going to move, they have to dismount every board, and my, every board is 10 cubits high, 2.5 cubits wide, and 0.5 cubits thick. Those are heavy boards, overlaid with gold. What do you think? It's okay? And then the sockets all together is 1.8 tons. How are you going to move that thing? It's not simple, right? And no wonder Paul picked out the three most precious material for a building: gold, silver, and precious stones. If you don't build with these materials, everything else will be burned away. No wonder a lot of things are burned away. And it's better that the Lord will burn them away today than later. Right? Then you shall make the breastplate of judgment right in the heart. Yeah. Artistically woven, verse 15, according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it, again, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. And it shall be double into a square, a span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones, right? And each rose shall be of three precious stones. The first row, different, right? You have topaz, emerald, right? And sardius. Second row shall be turquoise, sapphire, diamond. Third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst, and beryl, and onyx, and jasper in the fourth row. My. Now, these 12 stones, again, 12 names will be engraved, one in each stone, which is different than here. On the shoulder, the Lord bears us the same, we are the same. Onyx stone. But here, for the building up of the new Jerusalem, and here you can really see that that four square is exactly the same as the four squares there in Revelation chapter 21 concerning the new Jerusalem built with 12 precious stones there as foundation. So you can really see in the breast of this high priest. Why the breast? What does breast signify? Love. The love. That means what is in the Lord's heart is the building up of this wonderful city. Amen. The new Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. And it's not just any kind of a strange building. No. Oh Lord, if you take a look at this, you will know that God's plan, the ultimate building, finished right at the end of the Bible, the New Jerusalem, is so much in the heart of this great high priest. What is in your heart today? What do you love the most? Your profession, your job, your family, your new car. Oh, you wear a t-shirt with Porsche. That shows you love Porsche. I have never seen somebody wearing a shirt with a four square with... Oh my, you should design one so that we can all wear it in the church life. But it's not a joke. This is what is in the heart of this great heavenly high priest. No wonder you can see the one walking in the midst of the churches has a golden girdle around his breast. Right? So you really need to see that our great, wonderful high priest is such a one who cares so much about the real building. We talk about building, but I sometimes don't know what building are we talking about. Talk about building today and tomorrow, we throw away some stones. And we don't use precious stones, we just use different colors of stones that you pick up somewhere along your walk, your hiking, somewhere you just pick up some stones you think are nice, yeah? You think they're nice, you pick them up. But the Lord is not going to use just a regular, some kind of a common stones, no. That's why we all need to be transformed into precious stones. Yeah. For the building, we need to be transformed, right, into really precious stones. Yes, we may be different, but if we are different just in our natural being, we'll have a lot of trouble. Our trouble is not that we are different. Our trouble is that we are different naturally. And that creates trouble in a church life. You have your likes and dislikes. I have my preference. And at the end, we have trouble. It cannot be built. But if we are transformed and turn into a precious stones, you may be a different precious stone than a brother next to you, but because of the transformation, hey, you have the color different than a brother, but it's not natural anymore. It is the expression of Christ in there. That will not divide us. But if we are different naturally, we cannot be built up together. It's impossible. It is really impossible. So, of course, we cannot get into details concerning this matter this morning. But in principle, you have to realize that if we are not transformed, we can never be built up together. You can, yes, be one, but what kind of a oneness are you talking about? Today, the oneness for some people are just oneness, nothing else. But a oneness in the Bible is a different kind of oneness. It's a oneness between the Son and the Father. But what happened? After so many years, our oneness is just a strange kind of a oneness. Oh, we agree with a certain teaching, then we are one. Right? Or we agree with the elders, and whatever they say, it's okay, we are one. One with the elders. One with the elders, what if the elders were wrong? We are one. We just have to be one. Just be one, okay? Just be one. I've seen that kind of oneness before. And that kind of a oneness just destroys everything. What kind of a oneness? No, this new Jerusalem is a oneness of real transformed precious stones. And four rows. Each rose has three precious stones, right? So four and three together, four times three equals 12, right? Because there are 12 stones. So that four and three is not four plus three because there's 12 stones. So four rows with three stones in each row must be three times four, right? Is my arithmetic correct? Yes. I don't even dare to call it mathematics. Right? 4 times 3. That means number 4 is a number of creation. Created things. Number 3 is a number of triune God through resurrection here, with the power of resurrection. Because to be transformed, you have to go through death and come out in resurrection. So it is the triune God through death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to create a new creation, which is the precious stones for the building up of the New Jerusalem. Don't think God doesn't know mathematics. He uses mathematics, but in a spiritual meaning there. Right. For us building, I don't know what kind of a concept we have concerning building. I have seen so many buildings fell apart. Believe me, I've seen that several times. Several times. And I'm seeing it again. If we don't build according to His way and put the stone according to His way of putting the stones together, you're going to be in trouble. Right. So, may the Lord really open our eyes. Paul said that the Lord put every member in His body according to His arrangement. Not according to the elder's arrangement or any man's arrangement. I have no choice. He's my brother. That's arranged, pre-arranged. Whether I like him or I don't like him, sorry. I don't know if he likes me or not, but I have no choice and he has no choice. But we want to throw away people which we don't like. Right? And I'm not saying that we should keep everybody. No. No, I don't mean that. Right? But what I meant is that we have no choice. We have no choice. Right? Every choice must be His choice, especially with regards to the building. Yeah. With regards to the building. So you can really see all of these wonderful precious stones. Naturally, we are not precious stones. Man is made out of the dust of the earth. The Bible says, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So naturally we are dust. But through the process of death and resurrection, the Lord can transform us into precious stones. And only the precious living stones can be built up together into this wonderful New Jerusalem. No other way. There is really no other way. No shortcut. Right? Praise the Lord. Then, verse 21, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. That means God's work is now to transform His people into precious stones. Then you shall make chains for the breastplates at the end, like braided cords of pure gold. Wow. Wonderful. Don't just use any kind of a rope, okay? And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate, and put two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front, and then another two rings on the other end made of gold. You know, according to the Bible, the rings are those that bind two pieces together. And in the whole New Testament, we can really see that it is the Holy Spirit, the oneness of the Spirit. The ring signifies the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead that binds us there together. Just like in the tabernacle, you have the boards. But then how are you going to hold the boards together? By the rings. And then there is a bar, a rod, also overlaid with gold, that went through the ring that holds the boards together. Right? That's why, right, you can really see the Holy Spirit is really the one that binds us together. That's why it says, endeavor to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Right. And it is the Spirit that binds us. So if we are not in the Spirit, you're in the flesh, we can never be one. No, no one can be one in the flesh. Only when we really live according to the Spirit, not the doctrine of the Spirit. You can talk about spirit. I've heard that for 40-some years, okay? And I don't see it. But you have to be a person who walks and lives by the Spirit. Then it can bind us together. Right? Amen. So, then let us we don't have much time, huh? Well, nevertheless, let's read it. And they shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod, using blue cord, the cords that bind them together. Has the color blue because it is the heavenly, so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod, so that a breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. Everything has to be tightly held together, but a golden ring with a blue quartz. It's really wonderful, right? Then it says, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Praise the Lord. So the Urim and the Thummim in that breastplate, the breastplate is like a pocket. And within that breastplate, you have two very special stones, and there is no explanation or description in the Bible about these two stones. Nobody knows what these two stones are. Don't ask me, because they are not described there. What are these two stones? It is not described in the Bible. God just told Moses, put these two stones in there. Where did they come from? What are they? Of course, the name says these are light and perfection. Right? These are the meaning of these two words, Urim and Thummim. Right? And it is for judgment. Judgment doesn't mean that he's going to judge you, but these two stones is used by the high priest there to give answers to important questions concerning the nation, concerning important decisions that are made. Should we go to war? Should we not go to war? And certain questions that need to be answered, and it is answered by the Urim and Thummim. Right. We come back to this later, not today. But since we're in this verse, I'll just mention it a little bit. Right. So you can really see that for things related to God and to the New Jerusalem, to God's plan and God's purpose, you really need the anointing to teach you. You need to hear Him. You need to know what He wants and what He says. Right? And then you shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. That means ephod is put upon the robe. Before you put on the ephod, you should firstly wear a robe of blue. Now, this robe is blue. Color blue. And there shall be an opening for the head, of course, otherwise you cannot put it in. In the middle of it, and it shall have a woven binding all around its opening that it will not tear, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. Nothing should tear in this wonderful garment. That means it must be perfect. Right? Nothing of this garment must tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem, all around the hem of the robe. Right? And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. My, this must be something very important. Right? How do you apply this? You all know what a pomegranate is, right? Have you? You have this fruit, right? Pomegranate is full of seed inside, full of life inside, right? And it's red when you cut it, you open it, you can really see so many seeds and so juicy, full of life. In the Bible, pomegranate signifies the fullness of life. Remember the Lord Jesus says, I came to give you what? Life. Is that all? And to give it more abundantly, right? No, the Lord didn't want just to give you you open a pomegranate and you only have one seed. Oh, that is not good. That is definitely not good. You know, if you want to serve the Lord, you need to serve in the fullness of life. If you're just, okay, satisfied with just one little seat or two, maybe, and you want to serve, it is not very adequate. Sorry. Right. But the Lord in His service, as a great high priest, His service is full of life, abundance of life. You know, when He came, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and John says, and we saw, wow, He's full of grace and truth, and of His fullness we all received grace upon grace. It's the fullness of life. Not just a little bit. But today when we serve, unfortunately, not only people may not know what you're talking about, but there's no life. Or if there's life, only two drops. No river flowing of the water of life. The Lord's service must be full of life. The priestly service must be a service full of life. And then you have the alternate, one pomegranate and one what? Golden bells. And the bells are very important because, hey, you cannot walk in and out secretly. Nobody knows what you're doing, where you're going, and this is very important because I've seen this all year round for the last 40, 50 years. There's so many things done by the leading brothers there in secret. Nobody knows, just we, okay? Just we. I tell you, anything done is secret. There's no good thing. If you're doing anything you're afraid that people might know, you better not do it. If you do it, you will die. At least spiritually, in the spiritual realm, you do something secret. Don't let John So know that, okay? And no recording, please. And why are you afraid people will hear it? If you're speaking the truth, the Lord says, anything you said in the secret, it will be announced in the rooftop so that everybody will know. No secret. In the service of the Lord, we have nothing to hide. Look, when the Lord was serving on this earth, everything was in the open. Everything He did, He spoke it in the open. All the works He did, it was in the open. So the Lord says, I did everything in the open. But the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, they plotted in secret. No bells. Not one single bell. And of course, no pomegranate. I didn't imagine this. I experienced this many times in the past years. In the spiritual service, in the sanctuary of the Lord, in the holy place, much even more so in the Holy of Holies, you cannot keep any secret. God is a God who searches the heart. And the hidden part. Right. If you have to do something in secret, then you know you shouldn't do it. If you're saying something, doing something, you're afraid that other people may hear or see it, then don't do it. Stop. Because sooner or later, if you do it, the Lord will announce it in the rooftop anyway. Sooner or later, everybody will know you cannot keep a secret from Him. You know, there's no secret with Him. He knows everything. It will be exposed. Right. Anyway, that is why you have all these wonderful three-colored pomegranate and the golden bells between them all around here. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around, so that when Aaron ministers, its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord. And when he comes out, remember that he may not die. Remember those four words. That he may not die. Then you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like an engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord, right here to be mounted on the turban. You shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban, and it shall be on the front of the turban, almost like in the forehead of Aaron, because the turban is put there on the head, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You can see how holiness is so important. And it shall be on the forehead, not just for everybody to see, but for Aaron not to forget. Right. Holiness and righteousness and glory. Remember these three words that are very important to describe our wonderful God. He is glorious, He is righteous, and He is holy. And then you can really see that whole garment is for glory and beauty. And then it's for righteousness. You have the innermost tunic there. You can really see it's made of white linen there. The innermost part of this holy garment is the white linen. You can really see later. Right? And then you have the holiness. Praise the Lord. 39, you shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. And you shall make the turban of fine linen. And you shall make the sash of woven work. So the innermost part, you can see, is white. Then the second layer is blue. Then you have the ephod. Then you have the breastplate. Right. That means our innermost part must be pure, white, full of righteousness. Yeah. That should be the innermost part. Then you have the heavenly robe. Then you have the ephod. And upon the ephod, you have the breastplate. And of course, here you have the two onyx stones, right? So you can really see before you can really put on the ephod, which really is for the functioning of the priesthood, how much God really emphasizes what is inward in us. Right, the first layer of fine white linen, and then the blue robe with the pomegranates and the bells, right? This is important. You have to see the picture. One picture will tell you much clearer than 1,000 words. This is our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the head. Why do we need a covering for the head? Right. Even Paul talks about the whole armor of God, and there is a helmet of salvation, because this is a big trouble here, right? Don't you think so? Is your mind, your thoughts not troublesome? Can you control your thoughts? Huh? You better put on this wonderful hat for the priest. In the next verse, it's not a turban, but it's called a hat. You have to cover it. Right. Here, let us read in verse 40. Oh, right. Thank you for reminding me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.